For too long, Christians have just kind of settled for whatever box we're supposed to fit in so that we don't offend anybody. And I just thank God that God's love cannot be contained in a box. It's too extreme. It's too radical. It's too transforming. You can't just have a little bit. And it's like a buffet, you know. He's God. He wants us to have Him. He wants us to embrace Him and to allow Him to live inside our lives so that we can truly shine and truly season this life that we have. We're called to be salt. So Jesus said we're supposed to be. I mean, if your life is boring, you're just not letting yourself be poured out on what's going on in your life. We walk around sometimes too insulated and too isolated, and we figure, well, if we don't look, they won't look, and we just kind of brush by people, even when they're struggling. And, man, all that stuff, the Holy Spirit wants to just wash that stuff away. We have to make a difference. We have to be the ones to be the voice into the lives and the hearts of people that don't know that there's another reason for living. I knew about it. You know, you can know about something all you want, but to know the one who has a plan for your life, to have Him speak to you as you open His Word, as you begin to read, to feel His presence, to be able to worship and sing a song to Him and have His presence just be there, whether it's goosebumps, whether it's tears, whatever it is, you can feel emotionally, God is near to me. He's not far away. He's not hiding anymore. Jesus allows me to come back to my Heavenly Father. Boldly to the throne of grace, where He has an answer for everything that I'm going to face in this life. And this is something that we sometimes try to keep to ourselves, and I don't know why we do it, but I thank God that in Kingsfire Church there seems to be something that's breaking open. There's a lack of fear that's happening to us. We're not ashamed, and we're not concerned about what other people might think if we actually tell them we go to church. And what's the name? Kingsfire Church. And I remember when I first started going out and telling people, I would kind of, it's the one on Neighborhood Road, because Kingsfire, as soon as you say Kingsfire Church, people are, it's a fire church? Is it for firefighters? Is it, well, I mean, you know, what's even worse is before that, we were Kingston Vineyard, right? And then everybody said, oh my, so you guys, is it a winery? Is that what it's called? Is it a winery? Brewery's beer. Winery. Is it a, what is it? That really did sound like a cult then, I guess. That's the Kingston Vineyard. So we went from the vineyard to the King's Fire Church, and, you know, we've never been normal in that sense. And I just want you to understand, if there's a refreshment that you feel when you leave this place, if there's a presence of God that leaves with you, just realize there's something special that the Lord is doing, not just because of this upside down boat that we're all somehow stuck on the ceiling of. If you can, yeah. Didn't Lionel, somebody sang a song, that Lionel Richie sang about walking up, dancing on the ceiling? Uh-oh. I'm not nearly old enough to know that song. I'm not sure why I know that song. I'm just really happy this morning. I'm really happy. I'm always happy inside, but this morning it's stuck on my face, and I'm trying to be serious. We had an awesome first service, too. I'm just going to mention here, is it June 6th? We're changing our services a little bit. The 5th, 6th, yeah, that'll be a Monday. Nothing's going to change on a Monday if you come on Monday. But we're going to be doing both of our services. The first one's going to still start at 9. Second one's going to start at 10:45. So it's going to give us a little more time to make the first service a little bit longer so the worship's not as short. And the second service is still going to end at 12. So it's not going to add time to the second service. We want both services to kind of be the same. Because, I mean, the first service this morning was just powerful. I had 30 minutes, and I just felt like I'm like, okay, where's the rest of it? Because I know there's a little bit more. There's got to be a little more in there. But really, we just went for it. We just know that God's got something amazing for His church. Do you know that you are not, as the body of Christ, we're not God's backup plan. It wasn't like Jesus came and did all that He could. And He's like, you know what, God? You know, maybe one of those times He went up on the mountain, the Father said, you know, this isn't going to work, Jesus. They're not embracing you. They're still trying to kill you. We're going to have to come up with a plan B. We're going to have you come back, and we'll get a church in place, and we'll try to do it with them. That wasn't how it was. It says that before the ages began, before time began, there was a plan that God had in His heart, and it was for a church to be present on planet Earth. And the mystery was hidden throughout the ages, but then it was revealed through Jesus Christ that it was His. Jesus said, it's going to be better for me now that I'm going. Because I'm sending a Holy Spirit. Instead of it being a one-man show, going around trying to catch all the villages in Israel to try to make sure everybody that needed healing got healed, He said, you know what? The wisdom of God said that we're going to put this Spirit, this presence, this light, this flavor in a multitude of people, but they're all going to walk and move as one body. It'll be as if I'm still on planet Earth, but I'm going to be in millions of people all at the same time. all singing the same thing, all glorifying the same God, all praising and ministering in the same love that God had for us. Freely we have received, freely we give. That's what we do. That's why there's two trailers out there that are just full of food and clothes. Because at some point, someone's going to need them. Even if it's my son this morning that wanted to get baptized, someone could run out and get him some clothes, and we got him redressed, and then he was able to get baptized. There's so much resource that we need to realize that God has given to us, and it's not just for us, it's so that we can give it away. We are God's A plan. If something's missing in the community, I guarantee you it's because the church, someplace in the generations past, failed to continue to do what it was originally supposed to do. You know, most hospitals that we have were started by churches. Thank God for the Catholic Church. They started and founded most of the great medical caring communities that we have were all founded by Bible-believing Christians that saw the need in humanity and said, you know, to help one is great, but what if we could help a couple hundred? And they began to build these structures that were specifically designed just to help people. That was birthed out of God's heart. That's birthed out of who God is. He doesn't love and he doesn't like looking out of heaven and seeing and feeling the suffering that's happening on this planet. It's a temporary reality, but he's come and brought redemption to a body of believers called his church. And when they rise up and when they take their rightful place, he said, Jesus said about that group of people that the gates of hell will not prevail against that group of people called the church. They haven't stopped it in 2,000 years, and they're not going to stop it on our watch. But I'm here to tell you, if the church does not wake up and we don't take the responsibility for what we're supposed to be doing, we are in a pivotal generation, at least for America, where if we don't rise up and establish a new way of doing life, there's not a generation coming behind us that's going to do it. I don't know if you've been looking over your shoulder. They do not have the self-sacrifice in their hearts to do what only can be done sacrificially by people who know enough and love enough to care beyond their own life, their own security, their own retirement plan, their own stuff, to care for others outside of that. That's the spirit of Christ. That's found in the church. It's not found out there much anymore. There's a few good humanitarian groups that are going around doing the best they can with limited funding. But I'm telling you, it was supposed to be done by the church of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be a light in a dark place. Gates cannot stand against the church of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I mean, and yet somehow, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I'm trying not to go into that because I'm going to confuse people theologically maybe if I do. But we didn't need to pray about this property that we just went up and bought. We had to pray and see God move to get us through to the property. There was a lot of prayers that happened, but because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, wherever I put my feet, that place belongs to the heirs of the kingdom. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. But people get into prayers about, well, maybe should we, shouldn't we? I don't know. Have we heard from God on this? Yeah, we heard from God 2,000 years ago. Go into all the world. This is all the world. And make disciples of everybody that we can find that will listen. That's our mandate. God didn't change it somewhere in the past 2,000 years. It's just we lost the vision of it. We lost the hope that connects us to the place that we're going sometimes. We've got to get it back. Can you imagine if the police come up to a door and, you know, because you've heard that expression, Christians use it, well, the door's closed. So, you know, God closes the door, the door's closed. Well, maybe if God closes the door, but do you know how many doors are stinking closed that have something evil behind it that needs to be broken down? Light needs to come in. Someone that's depressed, about to kill themselves, needs to hear that there's a reason to be alive. And we come to the door and we knock a few times, like, oh, I guess they don't want to hear about it. You ever see when someone's, barricades themselves behind a door and the police come up? They don't, like, knock a few times and say, oh, I guess they don't want to come out. We'll just go and try another day. No, they got that big, huge thing and they break it down. That's how the church is supposed to think about the stuff that we come up against. We're not supposed to see a financial crunch and say, okay, now I don't know, what are we going to do now? Now we've got the resources to do it. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen on my watch. We're going to find a way to get where we have to go, because inside me, I can't not find the way. We have to all come to a place that we don't have to pray about the harvest. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers, and then immediately he sent them out to do the work of bringing them in. It's already been established. The mandate's already been given. It's us. And there's not a group coming behind us that's going to pick up where the church failed. It's either the church proclaims his glory, loves people the way that he loves people, or, and that's a big or, that's a big question mark after that. We had dark ages. You know, we had over 1,000 years of what was called the dark ages, where there just seemed to be no light, where human oppression became the norm. where abuse of humanity just was, that became normal. And thank God a few hundred years ago, the Bible began to be printed again. Or for the first time, it began to be printed in languages that humans could understand and read. It wasn't just limited to a few elite people that disseminated the truth to the people for their own gain and with the right words left out so that they could get what they wanted from people. Religious minds can bind people in such bondage sometimes that you can't even think for yourself. I'm here to tell you, you can all think for yourself and you can all read of His love and you can all respond freely or not. But when we come against closed doors, sometimes we have to say, you know what, Lord? This person needs to know. This neighborhood, this street that everyone's afraid to drive down, they need to know. They got to understand that this God that we serve loves everybody. And you break things down. This is a line across in the thing. Doesn't mean, oh, we don't want to go there. We don't ruffle anybody's feathers. Folks, we're going to offend a lot of people. We've already offended plenty of people. I thank God we've got good guys on the social media. They're pretty quick to follow up with stuff that gets posted that's a little weird or off, even on now that we're on Periscope. You know, people aren't going to understand us. Jesus said that they didn't understand me. They're not going to get you guys either. We got to learn how to be okay with that and how to embrace who we've been made to be. This world hangs on it. Our community hangs on it. What we're doing up on that hill is we're just saying, you know what? We've been saying it strong here. We're going to say it from a place where everybody can hear it. Yeah. And people driving up the thruway are going to have to wonder, man, in all this financial woe that's happening, how is it that cross, of that white cross that's uplit all night long, how is it that they still manage to find what it takes to do that? I'm happy, but I want to cry at the same time, man. The weight of responsibility that's ours, that we don't need to pray about. We don't need to be led. Oh, I don't know if I feel led to do that or to say that. Right? I got to say, with lead poisoning, right? I mean, hunters have a different understanding of lead poisoning. But lead poisoning, people end up just immobilized, drowning in their own lack of movement. Because we're created to swim, we're created to move, we're created for fresh water. But if you sit waiting to be led into something that's outside of what the world says you should be doing, what's normal by their description, you fall asleep is probably the best thing that could happen. You fall asleep and maybe you can just get woken back up again. But deterioration happens, atrophy happens, depression happens. There's so much out there trying to crush the soul of our nation right now, trying to crush the soul of people who are daring to believe and try to cling to some level of hope, some promise of a life that comes after this. It's mocked, it's made fun of. Well, let me tell you, if there's so many better answers out there, then why is everybody dying, overdosing on all these drugs, trying to feel good, trying to find something to actually make life palatable? Just talking to a brother before church, three people just that he knows passed this week again from ODs. It's just this epidemic thing. Why people are just trying to find a way to make sense, to feel good, to feel some kind of momentary pleasure because they don't have anything in front of them that's worth living for. That's why it's happening. It's not make it mysterious. I don't know why. People don't know they have value. They don't know they've been made in God's image because it's been taken away from them since they could even learn how to understand what a diagram on a wall. You came from this little ooze down here into this big hairy thing hunched over up here. That's where you came from. So where's the purpose in that? Where's the creator that said, I made man in my image to reign and to rule on planet Earth? The first thing he gave us to do is he said, name all the animals. God's not a control freak. He made man, put him in the garden. He's like, you know what? Call him whatever you want. God wants us to exercise some of our creativity in finance. I say finance because it's going to take a real creative financial miracle for us to see us get to the next phase of where we have to go. And I say miracle, I mean miracle. It's going to take a group of people. I'm already calculating. I'm trying to figure out, what do you have for me to do? I got a couple of houses. I'm trying to set them up as bed and breakfasts and try to make as much out of them as I can rather than renting them monthly because I can boost and get a little more out of them that way. So they can go on the hill. So we can build. Whatever God's going to show you to do, we have to think together in this. We are a body together. And when we move together and we flow together, I'm telling you, this world is going to notice. This community is going to notice. There's going to be dignitaries, church leaders, people in the political realm are going to come to us and say, what is this that I feel? I want people to go into the stores in our community, all these hotels and stuff that they're building. I want people to walk into these places. At the front desk, they feel, man, these people are super friendly. You know, we have to go south to do that. We go on RV trips. I can't wait to get south of the border because then all of a sudden people are friendly again. People actually look to you, look in your eyes, and they want to talk to you. At the toll booth, they'll stop. How many kids do you have in there? How many times did we get that? We're sitting, cars are behind us. Nobody's honking because it's understood. It's the toll collector. Of course you're going to talk to the toll collector. That's what she's there for. Oh, isn't he cute? Look at that little button nose. Oh, and you pull up a little bit, and then they can see in the side window, and they're talking and back and forth. It's just, I don't know what it is about where we are right now in this county, this community, whatever, but there's like this oppressive sense of stress that we all race around trying to just do enough so we can feel good about ourselves or feel like it was an accomplishment that day or whatever it is that we're striving towards. And at the end of it, we're not even sure if we made it to anything. Such a hurry to go somewhere that we go nowhere. And you see it on the roads, people all upset and their blood pressure through the roof just because they're 20 feet behind where they're supposed to be because someone pulled in front of them. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen to you this day. You know it, and hopefully it's not you, but you've seen it. Where does that stress come from? It comes from this oppressive thing that we all are trying to one up. We're trying to get ahead. We're on this rat race. And even if you win, it's still a rat at the end of it. It doesn't make you anything amazing. I'm just speaking from my heart because I know the pressure that comes, and it's going to take a creative miracle for us to see the finances come in to get us from basically zeroed out after the down payment and everything where we're at, and to begin to pay down heavy on that mortgage, and then to build something that's not going to cost just a few a few hundred thousand dollars. Let's be real. We need a school up there. We got to start teaching kids like what's really going on. We got to start teaching real science. I don't want to spend 2 hours every night trying to teach my kids out of what they were told at school. That's just ridiculous. My time needs to be spent with, and your time too, needs to be spent with your kids on stuff that life really is about. Not unteaching them from stuff that was told into their ears that's completely made up. It's called a theory of. And we have a God that speaks and things happen. And we get to experience it. We can feel the new life. We feel the energy. We feel His love. But somehow it's too big of a jump to believe that He actually created us with a purpose. That He actually spoke, formed the earth out of things that we don't even see. Now of quantum physics, we can understand a whole lot. That there's stuff that's so small that it's almost, they call it antimatter. It's actually smaller. It's on the negative side of size. Cool stuff. And it's all out there. They just can't, it's not, you know, you can measure its impact. You can see its effect on things. But there's so much about this universe that in all of the collective of humanity in the past few hundred years that we've had these amazing inventions and abilities to see into the space and everywhere else and on a microscopic level, we still haven't been able to just say, you know what, we give up. God, You are obviously an amazing designer because nobody could ever design stuff that works this smoothly, flawlessly, and it continues to reproduce after its own kind thousands of years later or millions of years later, whichever way you take it. It's still amazing that His fingerprints are in the DNA of every living organism and you can't remove it. It's in every cell. He made sure it was in every cell. You can't hide from this person who has said, I am God and there is no other. Yeah. And then when we turned our back on Him, He says, I still love you and I'm sending my Son to redeem you and to buy you back. Yes, He's the God that we serve. He's the God that we sing to. He's the God whose kingdom He has left us here to build. I'm still happy, believe it or not. I don't know how to explain. Remember, Jesus just wept over Jerusalem at one point. He's the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is also what He said we're supposed to be. But there's a weight sometimes that comes when you realize not everybody that you want to come in is going to come in, and it hurts. Church, we've been left behind. Remember those movies and those books? If you've been saved for a while, you probably, thankfully, if you're new, you probably don't know about those, and that's just, it's just fine. You didn't miss too much. All about this idea that the rapture happens, Jesus takes His church, and who's left behind, and the fear of what will that mean, and who, let me tell you folks, we've been left behind 2,000 years ago, and Jesus said that it was better that way. He didn't say, this is my backup plan, I hope this works as good as it did when I was here. He said, it's better that I go, because if I go, I will send my Holy Spirit and He will lead you into all truth. He will fill you with the joy that's going to be your strength. He will speak to you when you don't know where else to listen to. He will lead and direct you through paths and places that no one else could have found. because he loves you, because he cares for you, because he has an eternal view for your life. I'm just going to read a scripture here. I mean, I've quoted a lot of scriptures, I've said a lot of scriptures, but if I don't give you a chapter and a reference, and I had a whole message to share, but I tell you, we'll go through it as quickly as I possibly can. I want you to understand how this thing works and how it is that you can feel full in a moment like this. You can feel full in worship. You can feel his love in a moment. And then hours later, all of a sudden, you feel empty again. I'm here to tell you that that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's something that you have to do. And there's a way of that we have to keep our faith in a place where we contend for the things that we receive, for the seeds that have been planted. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14 through 15, it says this. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and they're choked with cares, with riches and with pleasures of life. I'll stop for a minute. Jesus is explaining a parable he had just taught. He said the word is the seed. The farmer sows the seed and it doesn't all fall on the perfect little spot. It needs to fall so that it's the right environment. Some of it goes on the side. It misses. Some goes on the pathway. Some of it goes into the stuff that didn't get plowed. It's still tall. And every seed has a different experience based on where it lands. And he's explaining to them that the way that it's people he's talking about. He's saying that when you sow the word, which is the seed, into people, sometimes they're going to respond and there's going to be something that happens and all of a sudden the seed begins to produce. But he says, then many are going to be choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. And this is what's going to happen. They're not going to bring any fruit to maturity. That's what's happening, folks. Most of the overdoses and stuff that's happening out there, it's just kids. They haven't even reached maturity yet, and they're already being taken out. They're already falling into lifestyles, into problems that are going to haunt them for the rest of their life before they even get to maturity. It says that they bring no fruit to maturity. There's never the age where all of a sudden they can reproduce. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in right now, is because we had a couple generations where, however hard we've tried, we have not been able to take the seed from the one generation and bring it into the next one. And we can argue and fight over how that happened or how it didn't happen. It's not the point. The point is, here we are. And we have to realize that if we're going to get to the place that we're supposed to be, where we are now producing fruit, we're producing that which can produce of its own, we have to come to maturity. We have to grow up. We have to realize that there's stuff that's going to happen in our lives that we have to be able to just turn aside from. There's cares of this life that we have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm not ready to process that right now, and just completely tune it out. Amen. You know, I'll just share this quick as we're closing. That I was up on the property, and I was just amazed at how dishonored the property has been by the people who've been on it for the past however many years. Parts of it just became kind of like a landfill. Well, it costs 50 cents to get rid of a tire, so why pay that? Let's just throw it back in the woods where once it's covered with leaves, nobody will. In fact, let's dig a little divot in the ground so we can fit a few more in there. Just stuff like that. Just dishonoring the piece of earth that it is. And you realize, why is that? Tires are tires. We all need tires. It's not that there's anything wrong with the tire. What's the problem then? It's the fact that these dozens of tires are out in the woods where they don't belong. They're supposed to go into a container. They're supposed to get recycled. They're supposed to get repurposed. There's a lot of stuff that can be done with tires now. But when you throw them out in the woods because it's going to cost 50 cents to get rid of it, or a dollar or whatever, it's probably $5 by now. But whatever it is, we think it's okay to just throw it in the back someplace and let some other person figure it out somewhere down the road. Some of these tires are like 50 and 60 years old. Old, and it's just random patches here and there. You just, oh, there's a few more. You move one, oh, there's more under it, and you dig it up, and you know, we're getting it all cleaned up. That's what redemption is all about. It's about finding out what's been contaminated and cleaning the whole thing up. That's what I love about this whole thing. We're redeeming something in the name of Jesus. It's beautiful. But this idea that the cares of this life can kind of be like those tires. That Jesus said, cast all your cares on me. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for us. There's a place that our cares belong. The things that try to choke us out, there's a place for those things. The things that rob our hope, that try to distract us from the place that we're going to, because he's redeemed us to a living hope that doesn't end at death. It goes through to eternity. And he wants us to see that. He wants us to be focused there. But these cares try to choke us out so that we can never grow to the maturity, so that we reproduce in others the desire to go to the same place. And being walking around, you realize, all that's needed is for these to be put in the right location. There's nothing wrong with the care. We're all going to have cares, folks. We're all going to have stuff that tries to take our hope. We're all going to have things that happen that make us feel like, you know what? I can't help that person. I'm a mess myself. Some of you probably said it this week. I almost did last week. I've learned how to catch that stuff. You catch that before it even forms a thought in your mind. You realize, what are you talking about? I know the one who's the answer that this world's been waiting for. I know the one who's given me new life, who's given me heaven after this life. I'm not such a mess that I can't help somebody else. And neither are you. You have someone living inside of you, if you know Jesus Christ, that can help and that can change. It can help someone else find out that, hey, you don't have to just throw all your cares and your stresses into this thing that you're dragging behind you, where you're hoping nobody sees it. You can cast them on Him because He cares for you. He knows the way that you were formed in your mother's womb. He had a purpose for your life before time began. He sees the innermost workings of your being. He was there when you were knit together in your mother's womb, David wrote. He sees through the mess, and He understands that if we'd be willing to cast on Him what only He can carry, we're going to find the hope that the world has to see, folks. If they don't see it in us, where are they going to see it? The next brilliant sitcom, TV show, whatever it is that they're going to produce that robs people of an hour every day, that day of the week, that's where they're going to find the reason to continue living. They've already got that, and it's not working. Yeah. It's going to be found when they look into someone's eyes and they feel truly loved for who they are. And they see there that there's a love of a person that's beyond the person they're looking at. It's the love of the Savior that came to connect us to a place that's beyond this. You know, His disciples got so excited when He sent them out, and they're healing people, they're laying hands on people, dead people are coming to life, and they come back and like, Jesus, even the demons are under our authority. We tell them what to do and they obey us. And Jesus, it's amazing. And it should never be minimized, because that's the power that we have. But Jesus said, guys, don't get excited about the power. Don't get all excited about what I can do through you. It's me doing that. Don't get all excited. He said, get excited. Pay attention, because your names have been written in the book of life. You have been recorded in heaven, and that's where you're going. And that's where we're all going together. Let's just stand together. Let's stand in this place together, because He's so worthy. He is so powerful. And He has prepared a place for us to be reconnected with heaven, to be reconnected with our Heavenly Father. To understand that if we don't move, if we don't act, yes, there will be casualties. One of the most telling scriptures about God's heart says something like this: for He desires that no one would perish or be lost, but that all would come to know who He truly is. That's the heart of the God that we have found and that has found us. And all I'm asking for you to do in your own heart of hearts is to just ask the Lord to expand the place that you have prepared for Him. Sometimes we make a little pocket of our life and we say, okay, Lord, you can have this part of my life, but He wants to be your life. He wants to raise you up into new life. He wants you to have a newness of life that you can't have until you fully surrender to Him. Because when He has you, He has your neighbors. He has your family. He has the students you go to school with. He has access to people that would never ever hear. But if He doesn't have you, they don't hear. And they need to hear, folks. People are dying. People are trying to die and can't succeed at it. That's how hopeless this is getting. In the most wealthy nation on the planet, even. Let's just pray a prayer together, Father.